We're gonna get started because it is 5 minutes in, and so what I'd like to do is share my screen, and you know, we'll get this thing going on. But we have not done this in a little while, just to I have to do it. We are. I'm a walking.
Yeah,
that's not. My feels like myself.
Yeah, there's no USB in them.
So
here's it. Well,
you, you know, don't even worry about it.
We're not worried. You do your thing.
All right, do my thing. Let's see everybody online. Eric and Lulu, good morning. Sophia, good morning. And how are you, Sophia? We usually see you in here.
I'm good.
I'm sorry?
I'm doing good.
Oh, you're good? Are you brushing your teeth right now? Hi. Hey, Eric.
Good morning. Hey. Morning.
Wow. Are you guys hiking today?
We're going to be doing a little bit of a neighborhood hike.
Okay. Nice. That's okay. That's as long as we have it right now, you can have the class on your ears and your hike. When you're not virtual, you won't have a chance to do that. So enjoy it while it lasts. Good to see you. Yeah. Lulu, where's your hat?
I don't have a hat.
Actually.
Okay. All right. Well, good to see you guys. One thing that we used to do a little bit more in the class is spend some time to just praise the Lord for who He is. And I was thinking about this week. I still want to see that movement in our church, and so I don't want to take my foot off the pedal. But I did want to help you guys with this. It's just a list that can help us based on God's word, help us think what may resonate with you this morning, who God is and what you'd like to praise Him for. We don't need to spend much time in it. You don't need to explain why, but just shout out this morning, Lord, I praise you because you are what? Let's just spend a few minutes and praise our Lord together. Oh, Timothy Keller is excellent. Thanks. I'll respond in there.
Praise you, Lord, this morning, for you are omnipotent.
Omnipotent.
Our strength and our advocate.
Oh Lord, I praise you this morning, for you are our all sufficiency.
All sufficiency.
Oh Lord, I praise you because you are faithful.
Lord, I praise you this morning because greater are you that is in us than he that is in this world.
Oh Lord, I praise you this morning for you are the Prince of Peace.
Praise you, Lord, this morning. You are the great forgiver and the saver of souls.
Oh Lord, I praise you that you are the Almighty
comfort of
everyone.
Oh
Lord, I praise you this morning for you are the same today, tomorrow, and forever.
Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning as we gather together. I ask that you help us to be a people of vocal praise. Lord, praise that is not vocal is not praise. We can have silent thanks and even quiet worship, Lord, but praise that is not vocal is not praise. I pray that you help us to practice being vocal, giving you praise, O Lord. And I ask this morning that each one of us, for the different things that we are facing in our life, for the different cares that weigh upon our heart, I pray that we can turn to you and be confident to know that we can commit those unto you, that we can lay and lift up and lay the burdens upon your all able hands. I pray that you would give us the confidence to trust you in those areas of burden and care. And I pray that we would hear you telling us to wait upon the Lord, that we can wait upon you and you will renew our strength. You will give us hope. And so, Lord, I thank you for our class. We commit all of this time to you. Speak to us and all of the different Sunday school classes this morning that are gathering to dive into your word. I pray that we would be like the book of Revelation, that anyone who has ears, Lord, that we would hear. Thank you, God. I wait on you this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to need us, as we are in this Sermon on the Mount and the Upside Down Kingdom, there's a lot going on. So if you would open up your Bibles, let's just, or your iPads, whatever you go to. I know not everybody's comfortable going into a small group, but if we could look at Matthew chapter 5-7, that's where the Sermon on the Mount is. And we covered a lot of ground. We are coming towards the end of our study of the Sermon on the Mount. And so in the middle or towards the middle end of October, our brother Arthur is working with Frank and I to collaborate on a missions, kind of like a mini missions course in this class. This brother has just had the burden from the Lord. He's talked to us about it. We prayed about it. It's just like I think we're in the season of trying to test whatever it is the Spirit is putting on our heart, and kind of what my son says. My son ran for a class, a class office, and part of his speech to the class was that they should vote for him because he's a team leader, that he plays a lot of sports and he plays and he believed that he's a team leader. He can lead the team. But then he also said, I'm not just a team leader and I don't just know how to win. He says, I know how to go with this love. Right? I was like, oh man, you're right. He can go with love. I'm still learning how to go with love. But I'm learning. And then I said, son, wow, that's cool that you put that in your speech, that you can go with the flow. By the way, praise God, because he got elected into his office. And I said, son, it's so cool that you do that in your speech. You say, I go with the flow. And I said, Dad's learning that I need to learn how to go with the flow more. And he said, but Dad, God can help me with that. I said, that's right. That is so right, son. God can help me with going with the flow. I think right now our church, we want to learn to go with the flow. We want to go with the flow of the Spirit. And anyways, that was my little tangent on the fact that Arthur is being led, I believe, you know, by the Spirit to get into a particular class. He was led by the Spirit to start the movement for this college young adult group, and we're just kind of going with the flow on that. We're not being sloppy, but we're surrounding all this stuff in prayer. I want to encourage us as a church to go with the flow. As we have been reading in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, I want to spend some time this morning so that you can maybe talk about, I would prefer us doing it in a group, but I think it does help me to get into a smaller group. What are some of the things that are truly not only so radical or upside down from the world, right? That's a theological term. God's kingdom is the upside down kingdom. But what has been particularly convicting and challenging for you? I think we can be honest that when God's word gives us something, it challenges us. Can we spend maybe just 5 minutes in a group, Daniel? And if you're not comfortable online joining a group, that's okay. But when you're in person, you can just sit there and be the silent assassin in your group, I guess, if you don't want to talk. But I encourage you. I think it's a good habit to have a little dialogue with each other. So go ahead and move around, get together with some people you want to get around with, and maybe a group of three max. Have the Bible open, though, so you can talk about, so you can refresh and say, you know, when Jesus called us to be salt, that is so or whatever it is. All right. We've talked about laying up treasures in heaven, not being anxious, judging others. That's where we were just at. Don't have discernment to not give those who are completely opposing to the gospel pearls of the kingdom. Right. Things like that. Let's look through that. Give you guys 5 minutes and we'll come back. I'm going to write some of the stuff on the board. Okay, everyone's back. Hi, everyone. Hopefully you're back. And you still see my, can you see my PowerPoint?
Yes. As long as we see it.
Good. Okay. Maybe we can,
let me just
slide that. You guys can see. I think you guys can see, right? If you can see the board, it's fine. What are some of the
reading?
Okay, you can. Okay. Are some of the radical different ways that Jesus has for his kingdom? And what would you say? What did you guys talk about in your groups? What did you talk about in your groups? Let's start with the in person, what did you guys say? Can I just start from the right and mosey around the room? Melton, Daniel, I'm going to write it down. Don't put your name by it.
So we said two things. We said one was like the money aspect.
Okay, money aspect. Say what?
How the world is driven by the worth or value is in money.
Okay. And what was Jesus' words saying about that?
That you can't serve God and money.
Okay. Yes.
So you can probably look into something.
Okay. Got it. My keeper is not looking. You cannot serve God and money. Good. Anything else in your group?
Oh, it was about treasure is.
Okay. What our treasure is. What's part about that?
I mean, it's God's treasure is most, but our treasure is
something like this. All right, Nancy, Peter. Dynamic, you go. Peter has a headache. He says, oh, this is hard.
No, yeah, Nancy said.
Nancy said, Nancy said.
Nancy said, just, well, it says loving your enemies.
Loving is hard.
Loving
not just loving, your enemies.
Yeah, loving your family.
Oh.
Just loving. But you give an example where it's
easy.
She's
like, don't share that.
It's
this
easy.
Is like the effects all the time. She's like, too fast.
It's love someone that is needy.
Right.
Right. But it's hard to love someone that has everything that doesn't need it.
Okay.
Don't even mention enemies.
Sure.
It's just
sure
loving someone, you know.
Right.
That doesn't need love.
Ooh. Okay. All right. And do you want to share some of that Peter shared with us?
That hurts.
Yes.
What?
All right. How about you guys over here? Were you guys one group? If not, we'll go to the back. How about you in the back rows?
We're sharing about like where to store treasure, on Earth versus Heaven.
Okay.
We're so programmed to store treasure on Earth. Everything is focused on right. School work is focused on.
Interesting. Yeah.
And
okay.
Just mind shifts, paradigm shifts to store treasure.
Okay. Right. Good. Anything else back there? Yes, no. Okay. All right. How about your front group?
Oh, that's a lot.
That's a lot. Natalie, okay, good.
We talked about we look at and look at the different issues and all of the civic differences that made more. Unfortunately, ultimately up to God.
Okay. So what was the issue? What's the challenging part to you?
Well, all those different things in general, anger,
okay.
And the treasure stuff.
Okay, anger, treasure. Wow. Okay, good.
You've got a lot of issues.
Yeah. Now we got a lot of issues.
I do, right?
Okay.
It's time to project it. Yeah, we got anger.
Uh-huh.
We got
judging.
Treasure.
Uh-huh.
We got judging.
Anxiety.
We got anxiety.
Anxiety.
That's a hard one. And then
wow.
On top of that, we got to be salt and light.
Right. Okay.
You know, that's.
Wow. Frank can really get his group transparent. That's a lot. Okay. How about online? Anyone want to share in your groups what are some of the things in the sermon that you've been finding most challenging so far that you share with our class?
We got a little more modern in our interpretation, Pastor Alex, that Eric and Lou and I were talking about this, that during the pandemic, everything has changed so much, you know, with societal norms and acceptability and other things like homosexuality and lesbianism and you know, everything and people living together and you know, all these things, we felt that, you know, we're really all of us having kind of a hard time dealing with this and then judging.
Okay.
You know, do you judge these people? Do you accept this? And society is accepting it's not right. Their lifestyle is not right. So really, really regarding being, you know, how much do we judge them? You know, can we judge them? So we kind of got a little more modern.
Sure. No, that's great. Because I think you're really actually talking about this concept of judging.
Right.
Okay, good. Anybody else online? Okay. Well, as you can see some of my speaker notes right here that I put for myself. Studying in, okay, I'll tell you what I was writing there. For me, I will be very honest with you that this class and studying God's word and then preparing to teach it, even very recently in judging, right? And let's get the context of that because the Bible does not say do not ever judge, right? Remember, that's what the class was. It was particularly in the context of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it says, do not look at the speck in your brother and sister's eyes, unless you're able to first address the log, the bigger issue of that that's in your own life. That lesson for me, I don't know how I taught it, but at least for me personally, privately, that was very piercing. That was very revealing of God to me, that I find the specks so often, and I'm not confessing before God on my own. Like, what are the logs? You know, Natalie said that my attempted eye drawing there on the board, it has perspective. But like, that's how I feel, right? Like, I don't see this log that is protruding out of my eye, and I can really look and be very critical spirit in the specs in others' eyes. That week, I'll tell you, I don't know if this happens to you, but when the word of the Lord gets you and pierces you, I wrote the word pierce my heart. It was a struggle. It's sometimes a struggle to teach the class, you know, because the word penetrates me so much. I'm like, I don't want to make this sound like I'm directing this to other people. This came on me hard first. And then like last Sunday, I was preaching on 1 Corinthians 13 on love. And I was telling my brother Frank, we talked on whatever Friday or something. I said, man, last Thursday and Friday, I was a wreck. God, his spirit wrecked me with the passage that I was studying. It got so personal. And I always pray for that. I always pray that God, please, like, let your word do its work in me before I am able to say this to anybody, so that when it's preached, they can hear that it's coming from me living it. But I was regretting that. God showed me how many areas of love I was repenting of, I was confessing of. And by Friday, Bex was like, hey, so your sermon's all good, we're gonna hang out, tonight we're gonna watch football, or whatever day it was, you know. And I was like, oh man, I have nothing, because I can't even pray this over other people. I'm dealing with this on my own. And it is hard. Just like you guys are talking about judging or anxiety, the issue of treasures or anger, or what Peter and Nancy were talking about, loving is hard. That's what I felt last week before I preached the message. This, we cannot stay in the shallows on love. Let's talk about the reality. It is hard to love people. It is hard to love people. Peter said, oh, Nancy and I were saying, it's easy to love the people in your family. I had this moment with my mom at dinner on a Wednesday night. It just got ugly. I don't think I tried to make it ugly. It just got ugly. It got tense. Bex was like sitting there like, good thing that the kids already went their ways. And so it's just my mom, dad, Bex, and myself. It was very unloving, and I didn't know where one side was. And I said, this was not a conversation that had any love in it. And I'm like, I literally just preached this to the whole congregation. Lord, I need you so much. I pray. See, when we think of being called and saved into the kingdom of God, do you think that Jesus knows how radical his call really is? Do you? Not your head, yes or no. Jesus knows how radical it is. Do you think he does? Do you think Jesus knows how remorseful I felt on Wednesday night when my mom and I, two brothers and sisters in the Lord in Christ, that love Jesus, and Peter and Nancy said, it's easy to love your family members. It was not easy. It was not easy. Bex is like, I need to go to 99 Ranch and buy something. I'm like, I'm leaving with you. I'll go with you, honey. Because this is a little toxic here. Didn't even know how to deal with it. Until the Lord won over, you know, me in the next morning in prayer. My mom and I were texting each other. Like, please forgive me, and we didn't meet those couple words, and I'm still learning how to love, and she's learning how to love, and we had a good, you know, break from looking on that. Do you think Jesus knew how hard it was for me? Do you think Jesus knew on Thursday and Friday of last week before preaching or before teaching on judging how convicting it was for me in my own life? Do you think Jesus knows how hard it is for me? Do you think Jesus knows how hard it is for you working through anxiety, anger, judging, loving, treasures, here, heaven, earth, money? Do you think Jesus knows? Yes or no? Yes. He absolutely knows. And because he knows, he gives us something. And today's text is this: to ask, to seek, to knock. I'll show you what I mean by that. I'm going to read this for us, and you can feel free to annotate it if you'd like. Jesus, right after all this radical call for a new righteousness for his kingdom people, knowing right on the heels of saying, don't look at the specks of other people because I know that's what you're doing. Look at the logs in your own eye so that you can help your brother and sister with the specks in their eye. Be discerning, as Brother Frank was teaching us last week. There are people who are full-blown opposing the gospel, and you need to have discernment. You don't know it. Don't throw pearls to them. That's hard discernment right there. This is on the heels of not being anxious. This is on the heels of don't be angry. In your anger, don't sin. Don't look at a woman lustfully. Don't pray like the gentle. All this stuff. He says, I know how hard it will be. And he says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone, Jesus says, who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be open. Or which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask him? What are your initial thoughts on this? Right on the heels of everywhere we could go. What are your initial thoughts on this? I'm sorry, I'm not oscillating this band here. What are your thoughts? Anyone on virtual or here in class? When we usually hear ask, seek, and knock preached, what do you usually think of? I mean, I preach using these verses a lot in specific circumstances. Where do I usually use it if you listen to your preacher preach? Ask. And you will receive. Seek. Seek who? Seek. Come on, children, worship. Jesus. And you will find Jesus. This has been go-to for me. I don't think that's a stretch. I don't think that's wrong. I do not believe we cannot apply it that way. But in the context of what we were, where Jesus has been taking his sermon, and he's speaking to kingdom people, all of us, children of God who are disciples, He's talking about how radical it is. And what do you think? Why do you think he's saying this now?
So you're asking particularly that this is talking about salvation and classically, like.
Classically,
yeah,
we use this for salvation all the time.
All the time, yeah. So
I use it for salvation all the time.
So
I don't think that's wrong, but what is it?
Does it include more than salvation?
All right.
But if it does,
right.
I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is, I don't get what I ask for.
I don't get.
I always this is this verse really being true? Like. Well, I was fine when I seek. Is the door always open?
I don't know. See, like there's
a lot of doors. Some doors just don't open.
A lot of doors
don't open. They seem to be closed. So it can't be salvation because I asked for salvation and salvation came, right?
That'd be a good one.
So that's done.
That's done.
Okay.
You seek Jesus, you will find. But Is this only the classical usage of salvation? And
I mean, isn't this verse talking about the rest of the sermon? Like, all these things are part, but just stop right.
All these things, kingdom living is hard, but if you ask for it, God will give it to you. All right, let's go through it a little bit. What comes to your mind with the word ask? Give me some words. Throw it out. Okay, right.
Pray ask. For something.
Okay, how about let's not be Christians for a moment. And when you ask, what? You want something. When you ask, you want something. Thank you. Let's bring that a little bit. When you ask, you want. When you ask, you desire something. Sure. Synonyms. What comes to your mind?
You expect.
Oh, ooh. So when you ask Scott, you are expecting what?
What you're asking, but the things, the item you want, your car, your girlfriend,
yeah,
or boyfriend, or whatever. You want something.
Okay, I like that, Scott. So Scott's saying when you ask, you're expecting an answer. Why is that, Scott? Do you ask people who you expect not an answer? Like, for instance, do you go to someone in your office to ask a question that you know they are clueless about? Do you go to the cleaner of your office to ask them a technical question on your business?
No, you go probably to someone who's going to know.
Right.
He's going to know the answer.
Right. Good. So see, I like your line of thinking, Scott, because you ask where you expect an answer, mm-hmm, or you expect to receive what you asked for. Mm-hmm. A lot of times in our family, I teach our kids to ask. Go ask for stuff. And it's very, like, I find that our kids are very polite. No, I'm not going to ask. Why not? Because I don't think I will get what I ask for. It never hurts to ask. And then I have one child who particularly always asks, and she always gets. And the other children are like, how do you get that? I don't know, I just ask. And then you have other children, right, who are like, I ain't gonna ask. I'm too embarrassed to ask. I don't think that. And then you don't receive because you didn't ask. Isn't that interesting? You usually go to ask a question to someone that you know and that you know you'll get an answer from. When you have to ask someone for something that you need, what kind of position does that put you in? as the asker. I think this is why sometimes we don't ask. Because when we go to ask a question or ask for something, what is that? What position does that put us in? The weaker position. Very good. What's another word?
The decision maker.
Inferior.
What else? When you are in the position of asking someone for something, what is the state of your heart?
Maybe having confusion.
Okay.
Confusion.
Oh, you don't know the answer.
Yeah.
Humbled. Thank you. The person who's asking for something, the proud will not go ask. You see what I mean? Because the proud wants to take care of everything on their own. The weaker, humble person, the one who knows that they're in what? Need. Thank you. You do so much better at this in creating dialogue for class. I'm like, okay, so I try to even sit down with like generative more time. So you ask when someone, you ask when you know that you're in need. You ask when you know your position. You're the weaker to the greater. Great. That doesn't mean a bad thing. If Scott needs to ask a technical question, he's not going to someone like in an entry-level position. He's going to go to the expert. He is an expert on certain things, Scott. I was going to tell you, Scotty. Scotty, I know. Hi, Scotty.
Thank you.
Right. Dude, I'm going to start that now. You cool with that, Scotty? So, Scotty. No, I'm just kidding. Brother Scott. Some people ask him because he's the expert on something, but he needs to ask someone else who is greater than him, greater in knowledge, greater in authority than him, to get something done. What he knows he's in is in a position to ask. He's the one who's in need. And it takes a humble attitude to ask. And that's why when you have a need, who do you go to ask? Right? You go to ask, give me qualities of someone that you go to ask for help from. Give me some qualities. More experience. Trustworthy. Nice. Ooh.
How about mature?
Mature. Nice, Scotty. Daniel said the word nice. What does that mean? When people don't come to me for help, I'm always like, come to talk to me. I'm here. I don't know what calls. If people don't come to me, I'm just throwing out my traditional self like a big humor. But, if people don't come to me for help ever, what might that say of me? Maybe I'm just not nice. And if I'm not really nice, maybe I'm not mature. And maybe I don't have more to give. What do you mean by nice, Daniel? Like, easily approachable. Right. Knowing that you're approachable, knowing that you won't get mad if it's not the right timing to ask. Ooh, that's good. What comes to mind with the word seek? Seek. Desperation, I'm seeking for something because I'm desperate. Interested. Ah. I should write these words down to the brain that stuff. You're interested.
Clarity.
You're seeking because you want clarity. Or you're seeking for clarity.
Intentional.
You're intentional. Expound, please.
It's different from just looking.
Ooh.
You're seeking. You are after.
There's some effort in seeking. When you're just looking around, different. When you're seeking, you're in. You're focused.
Interesting.
Yes. Pursuing. Seeking is pursuing. Seeking is not just casually curious. Seeking is not just testing the waters, right? Seeking is not just dipping your foot in a little bit, just to test the waters. Seeking is not just, I don't know, I'll give it a try. And, oh well, it's okay, I'm good. I didn't expect much. Do you pursue after something that you know does not exist? Watch all those movies, National Treasure, Indiana Jones, and The Lost Ark. The reason why he pours his life into it, and everyone thinks it is a phony, it is a fake, but the main character devotes their life to seeking the whatever treasure, it's pursuing. Because there is an inherent belief that it is there. I am banking on the fact that this exists. I'm not just giving this a curious whirl. You know, I'm not gonna take a half-arsed, you know, look at it. I'm I like that one too much. You know that. What is Jesus recently saying? Have been saying about seeking. Jesus said, "Seek
first
the kingdom of God and His new righteousness." That's interesting. So what we've been reading regarding seeking is seeking, pursuing, really going after the kingdom of God and His, I'll just add that in brackets, new righteousness. This whole sermon is about a whole new thinking, feeling, lifestyle, relationship with God that they've never had before. This is new righteousness now. This is new wine. New wine is a new covenant. This did not fit in old wineskins. This needs something wholly new. And he's saying, seek first the kingdom of God and His new righteousness. Live in this whole new kingdom way. As opposed to, in the context, he says, seeking after your material needs. Why do you seek so hard? You're pursuing those pretty hard. You're pursuing all the things that I give the flowers, all the things that I give the bird. You're seeking after real hard. I have this promise, Jesus says, to add all those things unto you. But seek first the kingdom. And yet, seeking, like Peter and Cindy said, it takes effort because you're pursuing, you're trying to find something. You are maybe unrelenting. Unrelenting. It's not a casual curiosity. How about the word knock? Hello? What do you think of when we say the word knock? What's the words that come to mind? In my mind. You tell me what's going on in my mind. What's the word that comes to my mind? What's the word that comes to your mind? Polite. Polite. All right. Okay, Daniel thinks polite. Don't barge in my room, bro. Right? Knock first. Take care. I'm a barger. I don't knock, so I'm not as polite. Good. What other words come to mind? Why does someone knock? To get attention. I did that with a youth group for a period of time. You guys with me? Knock on wood. Knock on wood. I felt it. You don't remember that one? Do you remember? Okay. Yeah, you want that. See, I did it for a little while. It's my little trendy thing, actually. And I just knock on wood. At least, were you there for that? Knock on wood. Knock on wood if you're with me. Didn't work.
I was thinking the opposite. Like, I was like,
go ahead.
Like, I was thinking, like, timid instead. I was like, ooh, you're not sure.
Okay, so seeking attention, but knocking, Daniel also said, is not sure. Why, Daniel?
Like, well, like, you barge in. Thank you. But, like, you're not sure if, like, you go in or,
you know, if you're not sure, you go in.
Yeah. Or, like, if they.
So what are you doing then as you knock? You're asking for permission. From the owner of the door, owner of the room. It's not even hard. Like me having, yo, hey, knocking it harder. Daniel's more like, I'd like to ask for permission if I can come in, if the door can be opened. Because you're the owner of the doors. I like that too. Knocking to attract attention when waiting to be let in. That's a little combination of those, right? I would like to be let in. I like permission. But I want your attention. That's why I'm knocking, right?
Respect.
Respect. There's respect in knocking. But I still go to what Peter says, because if I'm outside the door, Frank opened the door. He had authority over the door. If I didn't knock, you wouldn't even know that I was there. You don't know that I am asking for permission to come in. You don't even know that I'm asking for the door to be open. What else does knocking do? What do you do when you knock and there's no answer immediately? But like for us, we go to Ama's house. That's Bex's mom's house. Mom's house, my grandma. Mom's house on Sunday. So when we go to mom's house, we do the ring, whatever that sound is. No answer. Why do we keep knocking? And I tell my kids, knock harder. What's wrong with you, politeness? Right? And then so see people keep the door. That's wrong. Right? Why does one keep knocking? Why does one keep knocking?
I guess like I think about knocking as the opposite of how Daniel describes
it. Okay.
Like, in the light, and demanding and loud. You know, like I don't think of nothing, but I think of those three words as like a progressive tense. I don't know if that's true in the edition, the original language, but I think of that. What Jesus said about how, you know, at midnight someone knocks on the door to get a piece of bread for his like guest, and he just will keep knocking.
That's right.
Until the bread. Like that's what I think of.
Good.
Yeah.
But like, you've already read into the word scripture, right? I'm trying to bring us out of a scriptural context for a moment.
Right.
And what do you think of knocking? So do you think of knocking that way as persistent because I've knocked on your door like that? And when I knock on the door at your house, you're like, dude, he's kind of rude.
I find like knocking to be pretty like jarring of a sound.
Oh,
like I find that sound to be jarring.
Right.
Like asking is just verbal.
Sure.
Right? And then seeking, you're acting upon it. And knocking is like you're intruding on the person.
Oh.
You're like making their ears ring.
What would you rather me do?
Something.
What would you rather me do when I come to your house next to you? Would you please open the door? What would you prefer me to do? So it is fine. It's not always rude.
It's not always, but I think in the context of the progression of the words to me, it sounds like
that's great. That's a good observation.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm just asking about knocking.
Oh, okay.
What do you think about knocking?
I agree with Cindy. I mean, I think usually, again, out of this spiritual context, when I go to someone's house, I'm going, if there's a doorbell, I prefer to use the doorbell because they don't know who I am. When I'm knocking, I need to get in. I need to have your attention. When I'm in the house, someone rings the doorbell, I'm like, I'm gonna need to check out my ring. But when someone's knocking, this person really needs something. Otherwise, he wouldn't be committing to the knock.
Sure.
The knock is jarring. The knock is signaling something, a little, again, prior to the doorbell, I mentioned the doorbell. The knock is signaling that I'm willing to invade your space and your sounds, and I'm really committing to it because I really need something. Otherwise,
I'm not knocking
like, hey. Or
no one heard that the other day.
Hey, who does that? So
knocking
is
something like there's urgency to knock. There's jarring.
Yeah. I think that's a good description.
It's a demand. Like I need you to open this door. It's not just a if you're home, like for instance, okay, I'll go with Cindy's thought. I know that the FedEx UPS guys, they just go and then like they're very quiet almost, and then you're like open the door and you see a box and it's gone. They would never go, I want you to open the door. Usually they want you to open the door. They don't want to deal with the people. They're like, I got my schedule, drop it. That's a polite, hey, I was here, I'm gone. Okay, so good point. Knocking is saying, hey, I am intruding your space. I'm jarring your attention. I want you to open the door.
But I'm not a thief yet.
I'm not here to steal.
Yeah.
I'm not kicking the door down. I'm still respecting your space. You're the owner of the door.
Also, like my kids, they know we're in the room. And they just go,
That doesn't sound like us.
And they're persistent until sometimes I'm just lazy. I don't want to pass. it's like 5 minutes. What?
Right. Good. You also knock because the door's closed. I love it when people know and are comfortable with me and they are able to just walk in through the door when they know it's unlocked, right? I like that type of, I don't think everyone's like that. I like that. People who are familiar with us, And when they come, they can just open the door and come in. I'm a little bit tripped up when I already told you the door is unlocked, but you're like, you wait, and you're just too polite. I'm like, dude, work down. Come on in. Just open the door. Come in. Right? But you knock, but the door is locked or it's closed. Okay. Good. All right. Now let's go to Cindy. Hey, Luke 11. And he said to them, this is the parallel text in Luke. Which of you has a friend? Go to him, your friend, at midnight, and say to him, friend, could you give me 3 loaves of bread? I'm going to pay you back. I'm just borrowing 3 loaves. I'm going to bring some more. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey. I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, don't bother me. The door is shut. And my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he's his friend, yet because of his, Cindy would probably use this word, impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. What's a synonym for that word? Persistence. Because of his not giving up and his jarring my ears, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. You know what? Bro, seriously. Okay, dude, stop. Here. Here's 5 loaves of bread. Get out of town. Right? Leave me alone. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it'll be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, Jesus says. And the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open. What father among you, same thing, if his son asks for a fish, well, instead of a fish, give him a serpent. If he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly Father, Aramaic Abba, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Ooh, there's a little hint here. It's also something to do with the Holy Spirit. So what does asking, seeking, and knocking represent? Tell me. Have you guys figured out by now? Daniel and Scott said it earlier. When you think of the word ask, what do you think of it? Immediately, Daniel said, the church answer, prayer. That's why I go to the exercise. I think it's probably annoying to some people, like Cindy. It's like, read it in context, please. Show me the, I'm trying to take us out into what does a word have in our minds, and then bring that back into scripture, and then check all the other scripture to see how we all fit in. Because we might have a tendency to go straight to the answer, and I'm okay with that. But asking and seeking and knocking all do represent prayer. What happens when God's kingdom people ask or seek or knock? Jesus' life is not easy according to your ways. And I know you don't want me to just be about our behavior. You've been talking this whole sermon about just acting. You want something that comes from within, but Jesus, I don't have that type of love from within. I cannot stop being angry from within. I cannot experience that so-called victory to not keep looking at the specs in my brothers and sisters. I cannot, it is so hard. You called me to new wine. You've called me to new wine, to new wineskins. You've called me to this new righteousness, being your people, to be the salt and light. I can't do this. That's how I felt on Wednesday night. I'm like, wow, this was an epic fail. I just kind of offended mom. And she's offending me. I know we both love Jesus. Why do we act? Why do we talk like we?
don't have love. And I was like, Jesus, what gives? Why is this so hard? Can I just be like CJ and just go with the flow? Why is it? I can't go with the flow. The flow's so hard. Ask. Seek. Knock. Ask. Seek. Knock. But didn't Jesus already talk about prayer in this sermon? I mean, did Jesus already talk about prayer in the Sermon on the Mount? Yes, where? Open your Bibles. And what did he say? I'm going to write it down. What did he say? Find it. Where's the Sermon on the Mount? Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So find me some texts on prayer. 6, 5. Okay, first he says, and when you pray, don't pray like a hypocrite. What was the point of 6:5? Daniel, let's write it right here on the board. 6:5 says,
tell us it's been for you.
Oh my, are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay, let's end. Let's end. I don't know what I was thinking. Okay, we're done with class. I don't even know. I think when I sit down. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm starting a whole new section. Frankly, that's from there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. And I love teaching your word, and it's so fun. And I have so many thoughts that are running through my mind, and I don't really know how it works with a class. I know as teachers, Frank and I work really hard to try to weed through thoughts and get there and challenge our thinking and just let your spirit work in that process. And I love this process. I love this, and I hope that whenever we look at your word, your spirit is revealing truth to us, and your spirit is working in us, and your spirit's convicting us. And even if we don't finish class and all the material, the 10 other slides that I have, Lord, I just pray that I trust this to you, that this is a journey for all of us, and I know it is for me. And so God, would you impress upon us what you wanted today? And I trust that that will be good with you and good with us. Stir in us the way that you need to. And pierce us where you need to, Lord. So that we may be also able to grow and live in the way you desire for us. Thanks for this class again. And pray that you will extend our worship through your preaching. And the music and your worship service that you prepared for us to give you all of our attention and our hearts and our souls.